Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
So good to be with you this morning. I don't know about you, but for me, there are two New Years every year. There's one in January, and it's the time that our calendars change. But for me, Labor Day weekend really is a kind of a new year. And actually, for me, it's almost more of a new year. And it's a time when we think about what's to come, the new school year's upon us. We're back from vacation. Work really gets going. As you just heard with the announcements, our church programs are restarting. We have new programs like Alpha, which we're really excited about. And so all these new things are happening, and it's like a new year for me. And it's a time of reflection and looking to what this new year holds. However, a question for you, does this cause anxiety for you? Are you concerned about what lies ahead? Worry and anxiety is a problem in our society. It's an epidemic. In 2017, the CDC did a survey of 22, and they found that 22.4% of working adults ages 18 to 44 reported feeling anxious or worried daily or weekly. Forbes reported that 27% of adults feel so stressed out most days that they become non-functional. Non-functional, they can't even operate. For those 18 to 34 years old, 51% of men and 62% of women say they feel completely overwhelmed most days. Anxious, stressed, not functional, overwhelmed. According to a Barna survey, a global survey that was done with about 15,000 young and Christian adults in 25 countries, 40% reported frequently having anxiety over major decisions, uncertainty about the future, fear of failure, and the pressure to succeed. 20% qualified as significantly anxious. Within that group, 59% said they often feel isolated or disconnected. In that group, 22% still attend weekly services. However, 33% do not. And I imagine the under 44% they didn't mention probably attend occasionally. But most people listening to me right now would fall into one of those categories. Perhaps you have a lack of direction in your life, and all these fears sort of compound. Maybe you have a lack of confidence in the decisions that you're making. If you're beset by fear, you're most likely to disconnect yourself from the faith community. You're more likely to isolate yourself and distance yourself from people. And actually, it's the time where you should connect to your faith community. It's the time where you should connect to people. But the natural inclination is for you to distance yourself. So does that sound like people you know, or maybe it's you? It doesn't have to be that way. I believe in Jesus, but I'm anxious. I believe in Jesus, but you don't know what I'm going through at work. But I don't know about my future, and I just can't seem to get a handle on it. So I believe in Jesus, but Jesus loves you and is completely invested in you. In Matthew 6, verses 25 to 30, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" He kind of chides us with this, "O you of little faith." You know, we need to put our faith in Jesus. And Jesus, the Bible actually records over 100 times where it tells us not to worry. And there's a reason that the scriptures are so filled with not worrying, because the Lord knew that this would be an issue for us. He knows that that's a difficulty for us. Jesus said these things because fear really is an issue. Another aspect of fear is Luke chapter 10, verses 41, 42. And Jesus is talking here. It says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." See, Martha was doing everything she could to keep the refreshments coming, to keep the food coming, to make sure that all the guests were treated really well. And here's her sister Mary just sitting there by Jesus, listening to him. And man, she's troubled by that. What's she doing? I mean, I've got all this work to do. And she wasn't helping, but Jesus said she has chosen the better. And do you know people who trouble over every detail, they can't enjoy themselves because everything has to be perfect? Well, maybe that's you. Timothy Keller, a Christian leader in New York City, describes worry as not believing that God will get it right. You don't believe God will get it right. And bitterness is believing that God got it wrong. So you're all upset about what happened, and you're bitter about that. Worry is believing that God won't care for you, he won't provide for you, he won't lead you, and he won't guide you. Worry is worshiping the problem, and prayer is handing that problem over to God. God tells us to cast all our cares upon him and not to worry about anything because he cares for us. Don't let fear control you. The devil is a liar. God did not give you the spirit of fear. Fear and doubt are planted by the enemy to keep you from becoming all that God called you to be. God goes before you, and you don't need to be afraid. A friend, Mark Sharona, who's a prominent, very well-educated Christian leader, says, "Uncertainty has a way of stirring up our deepest anxieties. When the future is unclear, our mind often races ahead, imagining threats and worst-case scenarios. That constant scanning for danger keeps us on edge, wearing us down over time. It's no wonder that prolonged instability often leaves us restless, exhausted, and even paralyzed in our decision-making. Acknowledging this is the first step. We're not weak if uncertainty feels heavy. We're just human. So sometimes even medically, anxiety can be an issue. I have a relative who was experiencing anxiety, and she actually went to the doctors, and she had some hormone imbalances, and actually getting some medication to correct that cleared up a lot of her anxiety. So sometimes it's medical. Sometimes it's not because you don't have enough faith or something like that. So for me to speak about fear is not to cast another burden on you. This is not about putting another burden upon, and not for you to feel bad. Oh, like now, you know, I'm fearful and there's something wrong with me. God loves you, and God cares about every one of your needs. And there's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. So this is not another condemnation for you. But I want to proclaim to you that Jesus can see you through this, and that you can turn to him with all your troubles. God does not condemn you. He just wants you to come in and alongside him and let him conquer those obstacles in your life. You should not be going through life feeling anxious with fear and worry taking over, preventing you from living the life that God has for you. And stress, in fact, is low-grade fear. Changes, good or bad, can add stress to your life. You can be stressed when you move, when someone close to you dies, when you get married, when you get a job, when you graduate, you get a promotion. I mean, all those things are good things, but they still add stress. If you get a divorce, obviously a bad thing, that's stress. You or somebody close to you gets sick, and it goes on and on and on. All these things can add stress into our life. We go through seasons, and life isn't always that extremely difficult. You know, I have a niece and nephew who have two nonverbal autistic children, And these children are getting into their teen years. It's more than just autism. The younger has extreme thunderclap headaches, and he literally pulls out his hair because of all the pain. And they have trouble sleeping, they have anxiety. At the same time, they write the most beautiful poems as they communicate, and they have an unyielding devotion to the Lord in the midst of all that. They communicate with a pad, and they can type into the pad, but they can't speak. And my niece wonders what the future will hold. You know, for most of us, we raise children at 18 years old. They start to, you know, go their own way and do the things that they're to do in life, but when you have children like that, that doesn't end. And so there's constant doctor's appointments and changes to the medication that these boys have. And the Lord speaks to my niece because she's been near burnout. And the Lord speaks to her about trusting him. And what seems so impossible with the Lord is possible. And God has a plan even in the midst of their difficulty. But the Lord has a plan for you too. And so I just bring up this extreme example because your example of the difficulty that you have is your situation. And your situation is important to you. And you can't actually compare your situation to someone else's situation because if it's heavy on you, it's important to you. And God cares about that thing that's important to you. So sometimes in my struggles, I acknowledge that God is great and he's able to lead me through. But then I think in my struggle that all of this is my fault and that I really deserve all this trouble. But that's flawed thinking. That's not right. God has forgiven me. And he's not out to get me and he's not out to get you either. Worry doesn't work. It never helps. When has worry ever resolved an issue for you? When has worry ever benefited you? So why do we continue to worry? I'm a fellow struggler. You know, the sins of the father are passed down to the third and fourth generation. I think the sins of the mother too, because my mother was a worrier, so it isn't surprising that I've done some worrying myself. But we just need to completely give our lives to God, and he will look after everything for us. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God." When you feel anxious, that's the time to start to pray. Praying will give you peace. It doesn't always come immediately, but it will give you peace. And many people in the church don't actually pray. They might pray at mealtime and say grace or a few words in the morning or in the evening, but they don't spend time with God and really commune with God. So when we're up in arms about things seem overwhelming. It is often the time just to spend with the Lord in prayer. Actually, every time is the time to spend with the Lord in prayer. But certainly when you're feeling difficulty. Have you ever heard of the game where when you fall backwards, you trust the person behind you to catch you before you hit the ground? To play that game, you have to fully trust the person that's going to catch you. And you can fully trust God. He has your back. God loves you, and he only wants the best for you. Worry and fear are synonymous. The reason we worry is that we're fearful, and the reason that we fear is that we don't trust. You look into the future and imagine all sorts of calamity that will never happen. Your imagination gets the best of you. You know, I can testify that I'm probably, the last few years have gone through more uncertainty. And I really should be afraid and I should be worrying. That's my natural inclination. But God has put a peace into my heart. For the most part, I'm not worrying. Even now, I'm in a state of, wondering exactly what the future is going to hold and what it's going to look like for me. But God has placed a peace on my life about all of those things. And while I should be worrying, I'm not. And I just give the credit to God. It's not because I'm a super saint or such a wonderful person. It's because God's really placed that peace in my life. And God can do the same for you. No matter what you're going through, God can put the same thing into your life. 1 John 4:18 says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love." So the enemy of our souls, I mean, torment, he would like to torment you. That's such a devil thing. He would like to torment you. He'd like to give you a hard time, but not God. we read over and over again in the scriptures of his love for you. Don't submit to the torment, submit to God's love. God is love. He's the embodiment of love. He doesn't just have love, he is love. And with God, we can have full confidence. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Fear will keep us from receiving what we need. The purpose of prayer is not to get something from God, but it's to be with God. Prayer is the language of intimacy with God. Prayer is not just getting things. Prayer is not to change God's mind so that we'll get something in prayer. It is to change us so that we will be more like God. When you come to Jesus with your doubts and fears, Jesus isn't turned off by that. He wants you to come to him in full honesty and just present before him where you're at. And he will guide you through all these things. Jesus knows your weaknesses already, but he wants you to come to him, and he will work with you to become stronger. You need to spend time with him. I need to spend time with him. We all need to spend more time with the Lord. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's so much good news in the gospel, but just think of that. I have overcome the world. That's really good news for all of us. So I need to ask you today, where are you at? Have you fully trusted Jesus? Or have you drifted away in your relationship with Christ? Have you ever asked Jesus into your life to forgive you of your sins and to have a relationship with him? If you're apart from Jesus, you're still in your sins, and there's a separation between you and God. So everything that I've spoken about on how God will help you out of your fears really doesn't apply to you if you don't have that connection with God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, by your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So we've been separated from God, and all of us are like that. We are separated from God to begin with. And if you're separated from God, you can't have that relationship with God that I spoke about. And we all need to get that relationship. We need to realize that we're sinners. We then need to turn away from our sins, and we need to turn to God. We need to completely dedicate ourselves to him. I try to do that every morning now. We have this practice in our church that every Sunday morning we do a dedication prayer, and I'm starting to incorporate that practice into my life. I always prayed every morning anyway, but I'm actually consciously dedicating myself to God every day for that day. And it's just a good practice. We need to completely dedicate ourselves to him. And if you haven't yet accepted Jesus into your life, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So you work all your life, you go through hardship all your life, and your reward is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And you can't earn that gift. You can't have that gift by earning it, by doing anything good or wonderful. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many good things you do, you'll never earn it. But Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He knew that he had to die for us. He knew that he had to pay the penalty for us, and he gladly did it because he loves you and welcomes you into his kingdom, and he wants you to be part of his kingdom. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Man, I talked about torment and turmoil and all these things we go through. Don't we all just want rest? You know, we're going to have, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have difficulty. But God has come to give us rest. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. A lot of people proclaim that there are many ways to God, but there isn't. Jesus clearly said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall come to the Father but by me. And either he was crazy, either he was lying, or he was telling the truth. And we know that he was telling the truth. So this morning I want to invite you to come to Jesus. And for all of us, we can dedicate ourselves to Christ. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. We can all dedicate ourselves to him. But maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your heart. Or maybe you've drifted away. And so this morning, or whenever you're listening online, this is an opportunity for you to dedicate yourself to Christ. And so let's pray together. Lord, I come to you. And I thank you, Lord, for dying in my place. Lord, I just give you all of my life. I dedicate myself to you. I give you all of my fears. And I pray that you would take over and you would control my life. I give my life completely to you. And I thank you, Lord, and I trust you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.